Dan DeYoung might be a hair late. And then we have Mayor Roy Lindsay, Council President Tyler Fleming, City Manager Aaron Kubik.
Hola!
You. How much coffee did you have, sir?
I had none.
I don't drink coffee.
Oh, had golly. Some tea for you, so.
Yeah, I could offer tea, but that is caffeine, too. It energy depends, drink?
It depends upon the tea. Some teas do not have
caffeine. Right.
True, this is herbal, so.
Yeah. Well, glad to see you guys again so soon. I hear we have a joint one coming up with the CEDC presenting in
March 30th.
Yeah.
Housing Advisory Committee update. They wanted to talk to both the Board of Commissioners and the City Council. Then we have the Community Economic Development Group coming to also be there. And then Emergency Management with Sarah. I think we're going to have a small training on what are the responsibilities of policy boards during an emergency situation.
That'll be good.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, because we all play certain roles, and so it'd be good if the policy boards can feel comfortable knowing what their role may be in the emergency.
Right. If you guys, or because you have a new dispatch location and city police and fire, has that become the same as it was here, where it's primary and Hillcrest is still secondary?
Yes.
Yeah, that doesn't move?
Yeah.
Emergency man? Okay.
Yep.
Just curious.
Yeah. We've got a good room set up with, I think, 20 banks of phones potentially to serve as our emergency operations center if we need it. So, hey, Commissioner.
Good morning. Backup generator hooked in.
Good morning, sir.
Yeah, I've got that wonderful generator out there. Yeah, that'll, yeah.
It's a great monster. Facility. That's a big generator.
And speaking of that, we are going to have tours of the facility before it fully opens, and we'll
please
make sure that you guys
yeah.
get invites, and that'll include the public. We're going to have an opportunity for the public to go through and take a look at the improvements and what a state-of-the-art police facility responsibly built can provide the community.
The sign in the front of the patch looks sharp. It turned out well.
It did.
Yeah. I know, it is definitely the second coolest spot we could have put a fire, or a place in fire. I really like the post office building. But
post office
didn't
building
work
is pretty
out.
Good, yeah.
It had that old school, let's walk the beat type of feel to it, being right in town. But,
that would have been pretty cool.
Post office is pretty established in what they love and do.
Yeah.
Hard to move off of any
piece
of land that they already own for 90 years or however
long. Yeah, that
it's
would
been.
Be difficult.
It would be difficult. Well, anywho.
So, I'm sorry, I missed the update. Did you guys get past the survey that they were waiting for to go forward with paving, so you're good to go forward now?
Or is it temperature now?
So, we're looking at the potential of paving the alleyway, getting that done for sure, and then the south parking lot, maybe the public parking lot. So, that all has a different base than the north parking lot, which would be the staff parking lot. And with the base that we have on the south parking lot and the alleyway, it would be acceptable to pave, especially with the temperatures that we have this week.
Oh,
so that's a potential. We will not be paving on the north parking lot because it does have a different subbase. We'll be waiting until a drier season, and so we'll be doing that in the spring. So that means we won't be able to actually occupy until springtime.
Okay.
It's like March, April.
You know, when they did hopefully. That building in the first place, I don't remember any of this ever happening.
Any of what? How do you mean?
That building. I've dealt with that building for years and years and years when it belonged to, what's his name?
DHS? Oh, no.
Alvin Spears.
Alvin Spears.
Yeah.
I've driven in and out of that parking lot. It's been pavement ever since I've known, and I've never seen any great big issues with it at all. Why now?
Well, I mean, there's standards that we want to meet and make sure that when we're utilizing public dollars, we're getting the best return on our investment. And so you're right. That parking lot was there for 20, 30 years, and it really had no real major signs of wear.
Didn't have any issues.
However, there's those engineering standards that we want to meet a certain compaction rate, and there was concern specifically on the north side, which would have been the public safety's access points, on the subbase and moisture content and then temperature time of year in order for us to actually get the true compaction necessary to meet those standards. And it doesn't make financial sense to pave with the potential of us limiting the life by 50% instead of just waiting 2 or 3 months and then getting your full return on your investment.
As long as you keep your rent up, you're okay. We won't evict you until your rent check's late.
Yeah. Yep.
You're helping us pay for our facilities relocation plan.
Will we late?
So thank you.
No, you're okay, not.
Good. Never.
I'm just saying.
Hey,
you guys are good saying. Partners.
Definitely. Oh, thank you. We appreciate that. And we do appreciate your flexibility in us dealing with some of the unknowns that we've dealt with. And we do appreciate your patience.
Right. We are...
We won't make you homeless.
We just all hang out in front of your window out there.
With signs.
The
with signs.
I am hearing good reports of the warming center. That
excellent.
And I don't know the city's partnership with that, because honestly, I don't actually follow all your meetings and the outcomes. I just know that decisions come through you guys at some point. But I've heard good reports, and that's exciting. So thank you. I know that we're all looking for housing opportunities and such, and I had someone yesterday suggest that if the transportation gets plans get completed from both county and city, and then we can get the UGB contract finalized, is that the last step before we can do that?
Yep.
That may open up some building capacity,
mm-hmm.
and so...
The key is building capacity, and appreciate the comments on the warming center. Of course, it's a community thing. We were just a small part. It's really
the
community, and you can. And the same thing when it comes to the housing. It's not just one group or organization, but it's the community pulling together. And the key with that is we may have more available land with the completion of the transportation plans, which will be done in May. We've got it already pre-scheduled out. The key is, yeah, that's opening up new land. But will it be developed for multifamily and or affordable housing? Or is it going to continue to be built like we've seen right now? If you look at all of our subdivisions are being, they're all single family homes. So how do you inject a skill set / mindset ability to have some developers, contractors or whatever build something other than the single family homes, and what incentives or what other type of individuals do we need to have in this in the field to actually make that happen?
Well, and let me gently correct. I just watched 10 duplexes go in off of Redwood Avenue last year. And this year, a contractor is putting in 10 ADUs over on N Street that are less than 1,000 square feet. And so there's some contractors that
there's are
making
some.
A move
mm-hmm.
towards.
Yeah.
And I saw a lease sign in front of that one, but he's also got two more projects in the queue. The one on G Street in front of, or before the Athletic Club in front of Options, that's going to be another like ADU, or I call them incubator homes. And so there is some movement, but we're also watching the CEDC and the Housing Advisory Committee talk about incentives, and that mostly means the city. Since you have the developable land
yes.
within your borders. But it also, the county might be able to partner with some of the Dimmick property. And we're moving forward on trying to tear down that old mm-hmm. hospital building, the old health department that is an impediment to development on that. And then decide if there's any incentives that we as a county or you as a city can provide to try and get that one project. I also talked to Teresa Santucci over at
Teresa Santucci, yeah.
From the
Spain
Housing Authority.
Authority, that's it. And talked about we need to get you guys out of the mentality of just subsidizing rents, and we need to build something. And she said, well, all we need is land. There's streams from the state that will do it if we could find the developable land. And so I think there's an opportunity there.
Yeah.
And I know it may hurt in the short term, for the city and or the county. But clearly in the past 10 years, we've only had that one project, or I guess we can say 12 years now, that was built at Maple Creek.
Yeah.
And so
yeah.
there, with the governor's budget putting out $400 million, there's some streams there that might be available. And so we're hoping it'll rise to the attraction of private development But apparently, we're a single family.
I did reach out to AllCare about the Dimmock property, and they were going to be reaching out to some other groups. I also spoke to Sante yesterday, just mentioned it to Wynn Howard, the potential of multi-businesses partnering for workforce development there, of potential there. But I should apologize. After we as a board gave permission for our facilities to move forward on demolition of the old hospital, on facing A Street, I was forwarded an email stream from AllCare that they had been reaching out to your grant writer at the city about funds for restoring or putting it on a historical something. But nobody from the county was involved in that email stream. And so it was one of those things that we weren't aware that there was conversations going on with other entities about that potential.
Yeah, I wasn't aware of that. Ultimately, is that something that the county is interested in?
I'm not. I'm a no from 2 weeks ago to today to any time in the future of refurbishing that old building and taking taxpayer money and spending it on that old thing, because it really is, as Darren says, it's in the way. I was born there. If anybody's got any history there, it's me and maybe your folks. You don't. And I say tear the damn thing down. Yeah. On the record.
So,
let's take some money and let's all feel good about it. Let's make our tummy feel good.
I don't think we've actually taken any steps or anything. It's just been
general conversation ideas. Correct. Yeah.
So,
but I do believe...
We wouldn't do anything like that unless we got direction from you, the board, letting us know that, hey, could you help us with this? Because we'd be able to help out to some degree with our grant administrator that we have.
Well, speaking, I'd like to come back to the grant topic as well. I believe that if that building were not there, and part of this is asking AllCare also to be helping us look for a place that public health can move to, as the majority of our medical service providers in our community are 55 plus, and meaning that there's going to be a lot of retirements in the not too distant future, and they've talked about co-locating with different services and trying to make sure that if public health is moved, my criteria was it needed to be near a transit line. Public health director was with me in that meeting, and he gave some concerns he had. But if they're moved, then that whole campus, a plan for what the whole potential could be.
There's what, 4 or 5 acres up there total?
Seven,
wow.
It's a nice spot.
It's a wonderful spot for housing. There's no question about that, especially if you build in convenience store of some sort, so people there can have
a little neighborhood hub. Well, remember B Street Market?
Yeah.
I mean, I would ride my bike from over by the high school over to B Street Market when I was a kid. It was fun.
About that little store.
Yeah, a little. Well, anyhow, I just so that's some of that stuff. But so recently, we have a grant writer who is dedicated 50% of the time to public health and 50% of the time to help the rest of the county. On day one, she was over capacity. There were so many requests for, what can we do? It is. And so we reached out to RV Cog about seeing, it was actually at the recommendation of Colleen Padilla from SoReady, that the grant writer that RV Cog has on staff right now did a lot of stuff with FEMA, Homeland Security, different kind of bigger agency stuff in California, and has experience on some of those huge grants. And so we've asked to see if they could get kind of an IGA between us. They're developing it, so I haven't brought it to the board. We haven't approved this yet, but the potential is that they might partner on some of the bigger ones. And through the administrative costs that the grant provides to administer that, it could cover the cost for them to do that.
Yeah.
But then it frees up our grant writer. But really, the thought was, should our county grant writer, the city grant writer, the RV Cog grant writer, all be seeing how we can work together and support each other so that one's doing something, I don't know, just the potential of overlap. For instance, USDA and EDA are coming Thursday, and my grant writer can't be there, But we've asked the RV COG one to come over and hear, because USDA tends to be those bigger and more involved grants and such. So just wanted to throw out the thought of the Susan C. Ryder had mentioned it as well, because of the CEDC connection, that the grant writer with the city is helping there, but could we have our grant writer also be a part of that, so we're both contributing, we're both working together, and it may be on one, it's this one, on one, it's the other. Or it might be a big enough one that we both say, could RV cover this and do that. So want to just look at the possibilities. Would we need an MOU or an IGA to see about the partnership? Through the nexus of CEDC was kind of where we were coming from, is the capability of that. But just wanted to throw it out there to get the conversation started.
I think the first step would be, I'll ask that our grant administrator take the lead on this, reach out to the other two, and just set up a monthly meeting, set up a couple of meetings to get an idea of what that might look like. I think an IGA or MOU at this point may be going too big of a step.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
To where they could probably accomplish a lot of what
without
I'm
even
hearing
having to
without
do.
Having anything, just being a partnership. So we'll ask them to at least get together initially and have a conversation about the benefit of maybe formalizing some kind of regular meeting times for them to discuss and keep up with projects.
I'd like to interpose something here. I'm on the RV COG, I mean the SoReady board, and I'm also on the committee that is working with the strategic plan, and I'm in the Makespace.
The One Rogue Valley.
One Rogue Valley, thank you. And at the last meeting, we developed a plan, a starting action plan. And one of the things, the main thing is to get an inventory of the available land for housing, not making any distinction whether it's low income, middle income, or multifamily, just what is available to be built. And I've asked Aaron to give us an inventory of what is in Grants Pass so that we can take that to. And the idea is that if we have an inventory of the land in various districts, agencies around Jackson and Josephine County, some builder may say, I can't build on just this little one because it's not worth it, but if I had three or four different pieces that I could build something on, it might be worthwhile. So that's the goal behind.
Do you have an inventory of what you would consider to be blight? I go down into the, and not to say what section of town in, but I was grown in the south, born in the southwest section of town. And there's some serious little houses down there that have been there since there was wood.
Yeah.
And we make it so difficult to build a house of any kind, of any low income side, because of the requirements in your development code that you don't want to come off of, and that everybody's going to have sidewalks and landscaping and a street light and all the other stuff in it, and a high-efficiency heat pump, that you're forcing people to live in little dirt, little huts like that down there with a leaky old gas furnace and no insulation and lead paint on the walls. But you won't let them tear it down. You don't want to encourage them to tear it down and put up a house that would be a shelter house. Nope, you got to put something else on. But there are areas down there. I see some over here this morning as I was cruising over in this area, that there was a bunch of low-income houses. They were houses that have been there forever.
Yeah.
And it looks like somebody bought half the block and just mowed it down and is now putting in some duplexes and some triplexes over in the southeast section of town.
Mm-hmm.
That's the stuff you should encourage, and I don't know if we're encouraging that.
Well, we are starting to see, like Commissioner Fowler said, some of those duplexes and stuff starting to be developed, which is a positive.
Right.
And
Is there any redevelopment agency money available? Because doesn't it go out to 4th and 9th? And there's some old homes in there.
And I just think that, you know, sometimes those are old. I know I knew, she's passed away now, but she owned a ton of little houses down there in the Boundary District down there.
Mm-hmm.
And if you'd have gone to her and said, because she had plenty of money, if you've got, you know, if these, we have a concern about these just for the health and safety, we're going to give you a break. And, you know, you carved down four of these, and now would you put up two duplexes or two fourplexes or something? Would you do that? and give her a break on what she has to have done and maybe some extra money from somewhere, she's going to be glad to do it. But that's not what we're encouraging. We're looking for, oh, I need some bare land and I need this and I need that. You've got it down there. You just need to encourage the owners of that. Find out who owns it.
What do you think the biggest What do you think the biggest barriers are for them? I mean, the contractors I've talked to or the property owners that own apartment complexes have told me they're getting out of it. The cost of repairs, the cost of everything anymore is you just can't afford it.
Limitation on raising rent from the state.
The state regulations, from what I have heard, are the biggest impediment.
We have a housing advisory committee that's looking into that exact question, and I think that's one of the things that
on the joint meeting
they're going to want to talk about on the joint meeting.
Because I understand they can turn a quick, not quick, but they can get a profit on a single family dwelling, and a duplex is not much greater than a single family dwelling, so it's kind of still in the same category. But to jump to that next level of apartments or multiple, that I'm hearing that the costs are prohibitive, and
Well, you hear Bill Lovelace, and he'll come right here and tell you that in order to build the housing that he's been building, and he's done a ton of them all over the state, one apartment, when he gets into those little apartment things, one apartment is $240,000 each.
Yeah.
Why? Because he's got to do all kinds of stuff that has nothing to do with that apartment.
Or the city.
Huh?
Or the city.
It's state.
Yeah, it's state. It's ADA, state it's building sprinklers. Code.
Yep.
Yeah, it's nothing to do with what we're doing. Just want to make sure you understand that.
Okay. That it's state regulations, and just like they probably have to have charges.
I know you don't have anything to do with it. You're not part of the problem. You're not part of the cost of anything. Looking at a friend of mine building a house, and his building permit was $46,000. That didn't have anything to do with you and the city.
I was just pointing out the one issue that you brought up.
Yeah.
You brought up Bill Lovelace, and so I was directly commenting on that.
Okay.
That's all.
Accepted.
Well, and certainly we hope, with Allen Creek uncorking in the near future, that somebody, because it's so close to those services as well, that you could walk to a school and walk to shopping and even to the Y, that hopefully some of that will be zoned attractive enough to produce some of that multifamily on its own. Like I say, not necessarily have to incentivize, but I know those things are under consideration. And I know the caution the council has in changing rules forever, but sometimes if you opened up a three-year window of whatever, you know, reduce this, incentivize that, whatever that is, it might get us around this corner a little quicker than waiting for the public side to do something. And like I said, I don't think government should own buildings and start renting them. That bothers me.
But
if there's a way to temporarily incentivize some of that missing product that we have in that housing, that it could make a difference. And I'm always been one is I kind of want to shoot for the middle of the problem. You know, I want to make some decent, nice apartments and let the people that are below that fill them up, let them move up, and then and let some move in. Because when government tries to do the super low income subsidized, like they have one going out to Lottery in Medford, I think it's $600 and $700 a month for 2 and 3 bedrooms. I mean, that's low.
Mm-hmm.
That you're married to that as a state and as a government,
yes,
for decades.
40 years.
And monitoring it and and following it. And so I'm hoping there's some, either something we haven't thought of or something that's new that would change that formula. Because that one, when I see the Josephine County Housing Authority, Josephine Community Housing Authority, running $4.2 million through their office every year, I simply can't even fathom that amount in our community.
How many houses could we have?
I know, but then think of all the communities our size across the U.S. that are taking that same amount of money. And so all that money's not building anything. It's like,
Yes.
And so hopefully we can change that philosophy, and we'll see. But
that's correct.
But
whatever
we're
doing now
isn't working.
We're not getting around the corner. So we've got to think of something.
Yeah, four-bedroom type situation.
Well, I think Commissioner Fowler's got a good point out there in the Allen Creek area. That's something coming up. That's not we're trying to rechange the wheel over here on F Street or anything.
No.
That's something that you all can be involved in when you get ready to zone and figure out what your vision is for that over there, and talking to your, I think Cheryl Atkins owns a chunk of that over there, and that's who you need to be having a conversation with, who's the landowners over there. You all have a lot of land over there, by the way.
Some of them are ready to go and waiting for us to finish the TLP and get that zone change, and we'll get some movement out there.
Yeah.
It's going to be exciting.
Is that what it's waiting on?
How are you doing with ODOT's contribution to Allen Creek Road?
Are they still
give you an extension or anything on it?
Yeah, they gave an extension. We're still in.
And is that the end of this year or beginning of next? Do you think they'll start moving the infrastructure and still doesn't have a timeline?
I think the safest response to that, Commissioner, is to have I will have to let you know in the future. To give a date at this point may be a little too premature.
Gotcha.
When is the anticipated deadline for the TSV?
We have it all scheduled out, and it'll be done in May.
Okay. Do we know what counties is due?
No.
Okay.
They're working on it. I think they're close to being done with it.
Yeah, we haven't seen the full draft yet, right? So they're working on it.
Ours will be adopted in May.
Cool.
And what's next after that?
Rezoning?
Doesn't it uncork some things for you guys as a city? Wasn't that the last one?
Well, then we finalize our IGA with the zoning, and then that frees up some land that we're talking about. From there, we do have the ability to. We'll have to look at our transportation system development charges, because that'll be actually complete. We've already looked at all the other system development charges, so that'll be another one we'll have to look at.
Well, and we'll get into that same conversation I had before I ever met you, which was we had the weight of a bridge project pushing the SDCs for the last 10, 15 years.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't even close to being built. No money set aside for it.
Mm-hmm.
And so I see it's still on the potential plan. Mm-hmm. And it's going to add that big old weight again to make those figures sound higher than maybe they are. Because as we've discussed, we're not so sure we're ready to put a bridge there. And so is that conversation still to come when you guys accept the plan, or?
Almost definitely. I think it's going to be in the plan, and the plan will, unless
can you itemize the plan to do exactly what he's saying? It says, put the bridges in the TSP. However, we don't see that in the foreseeable future, so we're not going to start
collecting till year 10.
Exactly. We're not going to start throwing system development charges for a $150 million bridge in 10 years, because it's not going to happen.
So here's how you do that. You have to keep your methodology whole. It's very clear and specific in Oregon Revised Statute. So what your methodology is based on has to be based on what is in the plan. And picking and choosing weakens that methodology. So you take the whole thing. And what ultimately you have to add that flexibility that you're talking about is just like our current transportation system development charge. It is not at being levied at 100%. And it recognizes that already. So council has the ability to set the system development charge at whatever level up to the allowable that the methodology states. So councils in the past have recognized that, okay, we just can't, the community's affordability index just can't handle that at the moment. And, that bridge costs about this. So we're going to reduce that fee to this. That's how they deal
with it. Sounds like it's part of it then. Yeah. Good. Anybody get nervous about forest fires?
Yes, and unless it starts raining some more real soon. And rain's holding off until April.
What are we,
May,
about 35% for the year so far?
I'm not sure, actually.
Well, and even the snowpack melted off in eastern Oregon and flooded out Pendleton and Baker County, or Union County. So, I think statewide we're going to be feeling it this year.
I did have one item I wanted to make sure that we mentioned here that I thought might be beneficial for our March 30th meeting is to ask maybe a request of the Board of Commissioners in anticipation of the meeting. So we had a conversation about the CEDC's request for support for the airport runway extension. And basically they're asking the city through the recommendation for $250,000, where the county would come up with $750,000. to make that $1 million match for the $10 million project. So,
in a five-year window.
In a five-year window. So we had a conversation about that, and council seemed open to, and this I won't say to what level, but seemed open to a at further discussion.
At least to have a solid discussion.
However, from a staff perspective, Jay and myself did have to let council know that those funds are not free funds that we have at the moment. If we were to utilize $50,000 a year for the next 5 years, we would have to look at a reduction somewhere in services that we currently have, and or look at, say, the property sell a piece of property and then donate that revenue to the airport. So that's the...
Did. I love it.
That's the...
Well, I love it. Were there Wednesday night? Did you see it? I saw it.
I'm just... No, and here's my thought, and if you agree or disagree, but I think from a council's perspective, they may want to have some information from the Board of Commissioners standpoint of you receive a certain amount of revenue from lottery dollars. You're apportioning only a portion of that for that match. Where are you having to reduce service levels in order to make that happen or something right. along those lines? Because if we were to actually partner with that, we would be looking at slowing down the implementation of our strategic plan because we'd have $50,000 less in resources every year, and or coming up with a one-time source of money like the sale of property to donate to the airport for that project.
You're that close to the wire on it. If you took $50,000 out and put it to that, I'm not buying that.
Let me soften Aaron. That.
I'm not. I'm sorry. I'm not buying that at all.
We already spent the last few years setting aside about that much for the airports in match money, so it's not new to us. We're not having to find new stream. But I've watched your guys' tourism take on transient room tax go from $10 million to $17 million over the last 7 years. And so if you guys can't find $50,000 out of that for economic development, because you're not spending it on your tourism contractor, I know that. That's split up between parks and police, I think, the remainder of that. And so I think there's room in there.
Not that we won't work. I think it's an ask.
Well, right? I think from our standpoint, our economic development dollars are going to the airport, but they're also going to Youth Pathways Partnership. They're going to the Small Business Development Center. They're going towards workforce development.
So ready,
supporting both chambers and sponsorship and stuff. So for us... what ours was is wasn't really a formal commitment of continuing those monies out of economic development and asking us to do that. But
it's not an allowance to us. It was an as needed. Our economic development stuff has been doled out as needed. I don't think
for us kind of permanently saying, okay, this is going to be what that's going towards. You know, we've tried to look at some other things. We were looking at a potential lodging tax countywide that can try to come up with those funds or do something else. We asked for kind of a report back on economic development.
And we're trying to formalize as much as a five-year plan since that kind of started it. With saying we're going to commit to 5 years, 150, then why don't we go ahead and say what we're doing with the rest of it for 5 years?
But the goal being that we know that in businesses in the city, businesses in the county, but businesses primarily in the city are the ones utilizing the airport a lot. So that partnership of understanding that it does support economic growth, it does support economic development. And I don't know. It will have to be something for the policy board to decide if it's something they want to contribute towards. I believe it's a good partnership. I believe it makes sense. For the health of the businesses, business retention and expansion. But that's something
the future expansion especially, because we're at that tipping point.
Correct.
Yeah. What's the city's appetite for a county lodging tax? Are we going to get, if we say we want to put a 3% lodging tax countywide, so that takes yours, what's yours at 9, that would take it to 12. And would we get
2-tier?
9.8.
We'd always talked about it 2-tiered. So like in the county, it'd be 12%. In the city, it'd be 3%. So county-wide, it'd be 12%. So everybody's paying the same.
The equity is nice.
So
yeah.
So, but what's the are we going to get a bunch of pushback from all the people in Grants Pass going, oh, you're going to run everybody out of here just because you want money? Is the city going to come alongside and say, yeah, we're in favor of that, or is the city going to have a big
pushback? Well, I mean, you just, they're floating it, so I know that.
I'm just floating it.
I know that Brad, I talked to Brad Nyba, he said that they, Travel Southern Oregon isn't recommending that. He told me flat out that their recommendation is for the county not to do that. So why is that? I don't know the answer, but I just...
Because they want to do a regional 5-county one.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's what he wants to do.
Yeah. TMI. It's TMI or something.
Too much information.
Yeah. Yeah. There is it. Yeah, to add 1% or 2% or 1.5. I've heard a bunch of numbers on that one.
That was the one that came in here. We had that presentation, didn't we?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. About a year ago, year and a half ago. Didn't...
And our economic development director at the time recommended that we not do that.
Yeah, it was leaking oil before it ever left the room. And I wonder if that's the same one.
Softly marked.
I'm sure it is.
Well, we know that there's room in ours to go up, so...
Right, but I would rather keep it local than rather than giving it to somebody else and have them trickle it back to it.
Yeah,
that's, I think, was that was a reservation we had. So when you ask that guy that's promoting, giving all the money to him, and then he trickles it back, of course he's not going to want us to do anything on our own. State of Oregon doesn't want you to do anything on your own. Nobody wants you to do anything on your own.
Well, they want us all to move into cities.
We have room for increasing ours for the benefit of, ours. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't like increasing it and then giving it to somebody else. We tried that. We've tried that with everything else with the state. Marijuana dollars, you send it all up there, and then they send you back what they think you deserve. Allowance. We get an allowance.
Yeah.
You know, Dad makes $300,000 a year, and your allowance is still $250 a week.
1.8, and takes it and divvies it back. Supposedly, I don't know.
Right, some 3% comes back, or some formula.
So, but they're paying their director.
I just wondered because you know what we have been kicking that around for quite a while. You know, for to do things just exactly like we're talking about. You want to know where your funding stream is going to come from, and we have a potential funding stream, maybe, if we decide to go that way and the voter says yes. Mm-hmm. Nothing that we can do. We can't do any. Lily can't do it. I can't do it. Darren can't do it. As a commissioner, all we do is put it to the voter, and the voter goes thumbs up or thumbs down.
Yeah.
Just want to know if we had partners or not.
We'll try to have an answer for you on the 30th as far as where we're at, what if we need to give a little report on...
Or maybe recognizing or being able to report out, I'm thinking would be helpful on what you actually, how you allocate all your
and we've asked for that. We asked that for the last
lottery.
Week.
Yeah. That'd probably be helpful. I'm thinking it'd be helpful.
It'd be helpful for us.
What triggered it is when we sold the Cave Junction building, all of a sudden, we're going to take that out of it, that out of that. I said, wait, stop. How many people have we actually committed money from that failed to, and we ended up kind of in the red.
Yeah.
But we didn't just keep on because we finally asked a question. I think the lottery dollars got the exact same ask.
Yeah.
Everybody, we'll take it out of economic development. It was easy for Larry to stand up. Yeah, well, economic development dollars, tourism dollars, blah, 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 the lottery will do it. Well, you know what? After a while, only Arthur knew exactly how much we had come in and how much we've all committed to divvying out. So that's what we asked for that report. So then we'll have a better answer.
Do you know how much you bring in what your lottery is?
About 400,000.
Okay.
Yeah.
And probably.
Thanks for the push on that. I'll get to work, okay?
And probably 15,000, 20,000, that's my contribution to the lottery system every year. Actually, I'm ahead, but that's fine.
Well, there'll be more opportunities in the future, so.
Yeah, it is.
I wonder, I've never asked the question where the betting on the horse racing falls in the lottery. Or the state jurisdiction? Are they a complete? They can't be completely separate, like the reservation casinos are, because that's like a whole other nation, right?
Yeah.
And
racing
is not that.
I'm going to guess
so it must
has
fall
something to do because there's. I'm
you
sure that there's
so?
A.
Yeah.
Because Travis took over Portland Meadows, which was in the
it's already happening
this racing commission that included Churchill Downs and Kentucky Derby and all of those people. I'm sure there's a whole separate deal with that. I don't know the makeup of it.
I would think so. I think
I don't know the makeup of it.
The
the lottery commission.
Probably. There are people have
that
asked,
can increase our.
People
our
have asked me, well, what does Seven Feathers think about his Rosino? And I said, I don't have to ask the Indians. I don't know what they think about it.
I'm sure it's not fantastic.
It may not have anything to do with them. You know, what do they say about the gaming machines at Abby's Pizza? They don't get any piece of that.
But the casinos, I agree with you.
But they're very protective, right? They're
territorial.
Yes. Yeah.
Well, when that casino was being considered for Medford,
still is.
That's still a tribal casino.
Yeah.
This is not.
Right.
It doesn't have exactly the same gaming. There's no cards. There's no roulette. There's no craps. It's just
old.
It's races.
Yeah.
Historic races.
So how does international?
Let me ask you this: It
seems to me, and I've never been in JD's Sport Pub, but you could go bet race the ponies at JD's.
Yes.
Parimutuel betting, yes. Racing the ponies at JD's. Is that through the Oregon Lottery Commission?
Mm-hmm.
And would this
That's
be
the question that? I wanted to ask Travis yesterday.
And would that is that what he's falling under, the sport betting side of JD's, because it's sports betting, it's not only off track, it's off the state, off the country. This thing comes in through the airways. It has nothing to do with
currently.
I don't know.
2.5% of lottery in a county comes back to the county. So that's the impact, is if the Racino does
fall
into that
stream,
same thing, would 2.5% come back through lottery dollars back? But that's not lottery.
I don't think. I think that's up to the lottery.
Gaming commission versus lottery.
Travis is the one that's spending the money. It isn't us.
Let's call it GP
Downs. He's got to really.
We were asked very nicely.
He's got to figure it out. I mean, if we don't have any dog in that fight, and if it comes down to the Indians swooping down out of the hills and doing whatever they do, I guess Travis is probably
what to say. Be careful, my friend.
I am.
Okay.
It's not on video, so we're fine.
Right. I did take a trip around the fairgrounds yesterday, and I was kind of talking about before we got this meeting started. If you get a chance, drive through there. Go check out the arena. They're reciting it right now. They're talking about kind of moving the fair down the fairway a little bit this year to put the concerts a little further down and have them every night, the smaller concert venues, and have some kid areas as well down there. And now the arena's kind of becoming more of a focal point because it'll be easier on the eye. With the new cosmetic remodel there, but then I drove around the track and was thinking about the new entertainment venue that Grants Pass Downs is going to be putting in and how that's going to work along the front of the racetrack, have a plaza feel all the way to the stadium, and so this is the time where we find out that how fast, how far they want to go forward. Or whether they decided it doesn't make money, and what it sounded like to me recently was that it looks pretty positive.
Yeah.
And so we're going to have a pull-off area in front of the stadium. There'll be I think the lease is going to eventually be up on that one building that's not part of the fairgrounds activities right now, that carpet store.
Carpet place. They're already out of there in October.
Yeah,
year
away.
They are leaving in October, and Travis is already committed. He says, "I want to start releasing it right now, so it doesn't go anywhere else."
There is a deed restriction on that portion that a portion always has to go back towards horse racing.
It has to go to horse racing.
Okay. So that property specifically was deeded to the county.
All that money can go to Grants Pass Downs or whatever, as long as it goes to horse racing.
He wants it as office space. Is that what he?
No, and I don't care what he wants for it. He wants to have that in his leasing footprint, so
it's
he can tear the building down.
Determined there is no lease yet.
Okay,
makes sense. It's not in his lease.
It's not.
But he wants to lease it.
He wants to include that in the footprint he is leasing that he wants to stick money into.
Okay.
You know, and I'm all for that. I don't want us to go down and say, oh, no, the homeless want to rent that, and we're going to rent to them for $1 a year.
No matter what it is leased for, a portion of the proceeds has to benefit horse racing.
And they're already aware of that.
Yeah.
I think it's all.
Well, and it's an intrusion on the fairground
property.
The stadium. And because
I didn't know that was part of it. I think most people don't know that.
It's kind of ancillary. Yeah. It looks like it's something else, but it has fallen under that.
What's that?
Purview, the fair board, that building's under this.
Speaking of the
fair management.
No, I just didn't. I was just interested because I didn't find anybody knew that.
Yeah. Well, and they're looking for parking and stuff for the Love Abounds, the soccer fields and the play fields that are out there, too.
Want to take the whole visual of the fairgrounds all the way from the gas station to where it stops over on Allen Creek. They want the whole front visual of that fairground
to
completely be changed. Yeah. Right now, it's old reject concrete barriers from ODOT.
Yeah,
and a parking lot that's got all these, that's our handicap parking lot, it's got old foundations in it.
I know,
it's all going to go away.
It has a blight look to it for sure.
Yes, it does.
And it's something we'd like to work on as well.
You charge somebody $25 to get into the fair, and then $5 to park his car, and you take him in on a golf cart.
It was part of our contract for the lease that the BMX track will be relocated and made whole. So I know they're working
at the same level it's now or better. It won't be less.
So we are. Wonderful. I know they are looking for an alternate location for them.
I think they have one in mind.
Good.
Oh, good.
And I think it's going to be very tight.
Good.
Excellent.
Yeah, you don't get to park up in Hillcrest, but that's fine.
Uh-oh.
Just that's hilarious.
Yeah.
You know, I'm going to throw out a
They laugh when I say they're going to put the BMX track above the freeway. And
every park development the city puts in these days should have a pickleball court. Just saying.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Well, and we're moving forward.
And then what they're going to do with the gas station?
Yeah.
Is take the gas station and make two pickleball courts over here?
That's yet to be determined, but we're probably going to use it for some kind of commercial use. If
gastropub?
Council's considering either potentially...
Purple two, Parrot?
Three things. One would be to have it as extra extended parking, but the other two, I think, that are gaining more interest would be to lease it. Mm-hmm. We're going to level it. To lease it for commercial use and or to sell it for its intended commercial use.
Hmm. Interesting.
And the radiator shop will be the for sure is going to be parking. But the other part are those three options that council's considering.
Good.
Mm-hmm.
Well, because I thought I'd make a cool gastropub of some sort, even in the building that it's in, not knowing what its full condition is. But the way they revamped the Firestone building turned out really nice.
Mm-hmm.
And so I had some of that possibility in my mind. Excuse me. Anywho.
Tanks coming out yet?
Oh,
what's that?
Are the tanks coming out yet?
They will be. Yep. Yep.
Yep.
I won't ask the question about other tanks, but I'll leave it alone.
And so we're going to be working this year
whatever you got.
I didn't mean to interrupt.
I was just going to say we're going to be working on Beacon Drive this year.
Nice.
Getting it up a ways further than it is.
Wonderful.
One side will be.
Yeah, but only one side improved.
Well, that's an improvement.
And the topography
limits you. Obviously, we'd be right at people's front doors.
Oh, my goodness.
If you went with a traditional layout and a retaining wall taller than your hat.
Yeah.
And so we're trying to. I know the county in the past hasn't had the funds, and so now that we did find some in that Lower Verode jurisdictional exchange, we're trying to play a little catch-up on places where the county hasn't been the best partner in turning over jurisdiction to the city. And so Lincoln Road is a big part of that as well, and heading out towards Schaefer and doing some sidewalk improvements there for all those folks in those neighborhoods to get to the park And so that's good.
That's exciting.
Stuff.
Yeah. It's only a portion of Beacon, though, correct? It's not the whole
thing. Yeah, it only goes up to, like, Quail Crossing.
That's pretty far, though.
Almost makes it up to the sidewalk on the Savage.
From a drone up to Quail.
Right now, the budget says we can go to Quail Crossing. But as it stretches out, we're getting good bids in from all of people on that.
Nice.
And if we can get good bids on it, for instance, we have this much budgeted, and I've encouraged Mr. Brandis that if it comes in here, don't just take the money and put it back. See how much you can go further.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe we can get all the way to Savage,
economy
or we
scale.
Might be able to get to the freeway or something. The main key is is that y'all came off of, and I don't know if y'all came off of it, this is all we're going to do. If you're never going to take it until it's full street improvement to city standards, it's never going to happen. So we're doing an abbreviated thing up there as topography will allow, and that's all we're ever going to do. Okay, so don't come back and say, we want two lanes and a turn lane and two sidewalks and a beautification strip. It's not going to happen.
Yeah, not going to happen there.
And so we're going to do what's very best up there and get as much use out of that right of way as we can.
What about a multimodal path?
You can have it.
You take that back, mister.
Yeah, yeah.
No, I'm not going to stop this meeting.
You can have it right.
No sidewalks.
Right down 10th Street. Right down 10th Street.
Well, yeah, well, no more cars. No more cars.
I know, you got to mess with
that. One way. We'll make it a one-way street on 10th.
But anyway, we'd like to extend it if we can, even farther.
Yeah,
and we're the irrigation district is taking care of all of it. You can't the irrigation district doing all brand new stuff across there. No patches, no tubes, no pull ins, no sleeves, no nothing. All stuff is gunited on both ends. There will be no leaking coming out of the Uranus Pass irrigation district. So when the spring pops up under below that, it isn't ours. It isn't the district, and it's not the county. We're done. Okay?
Yeah, that's going to be a good improvement, though, especially with the future plans of
apartment. You do have a lot to get off, so I hope you...
I watched it last year, blame the irrigation district. Oh, it's your leaky damn ditch. It's this, it's that, it's this and that. And what happened? They were going to dig down and replace the ditch.
Whoops.
City's water pipes just gushing water everywhere. Didn't have anything to do with the county's storm rains or anything. It had the city water, and it was popping up in the guy's yard and blaming the district about it and blaming the county for it. Didn't happen. Not going to happen now. We're going to take all stuff off of your plate. No more excuses.
Down to 8. Good.
And I know what it is, and we all know what it is, but nobody wants to tell that guy. That whole hillside's full of springs. I lived on Beverly Drive. I had one pop up. I was there for 8 years. And my neighbor calls me, you got to bust a pipe under your house. I said, what are you talking about? He said, water pouring out of your foundation. It was a spring right smack underneath the property.
Yeah.
And I just had to bore a hole in the footing and let it go on down because it wasn't going to stop it.
Right.
And that's what I think they have up there. I don't think it's anybody's infrastructure that's doing anything up there, to be honest with you.
Yeah. Well, have we missed anything? We got a few minutes left.
Oh, I did want to mention, you mentioned Foundry. So, you know, through strategic planning, we talked about using urban renewal money potentially to curb gutter sidewalk, the Foundry Booth area, that neighborhood.
Oh, wow.
So yeah, that's a good
now, are they in the? Are they in the?
It is because it's industrial. It covers all of our industrial business park, and that's all industrial business park in that area.
Oh, good.
Okay.
And commercial. So, not saying it's happening for sure, but we're talking about it because we feel like that's an area that could use some. People are taking nice care of their homes there, you know, and it could use a little love. I think
CMAC or anybody, you don't get CMAC on that, do you?
I don't know. I'm sure we would use
that. Consider there must be a bus station.
We're looking at tapping CMAC for
another
deal. So transportation CMAC out of it for right now.
Yeah, but it's so highly traveled, quite a few days a week with that ROC there.
Well, and you got the food. You got the school right down the street from it.
Yep. The thrift shop and the
movie rental shop and you got storage
design or whatever their name is.
Movie rental shop is not there.
That's now a thrift store training for the mission.
For the mission.
Across the street.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Was that our last video store? We still got one.
You mean nobody's renting videos anymore?
Video Station.
Video World.
Oh my God.
Video World is the last one.
That's the last one. We'll turn it into a museum eventually.
Yeah, probably.
I know, right? Well, certainly, with the economy like it is, we're able to do some things as a county and as a city that we might not have been able to do in the past. I'm a little concerned that Oregon is making sure they spend every dang penny that is coming their way, and then they've invented a couple new taxes.
Oh, yeah.
That the rest of the world is going, huh? We don't have accountants that can figure out your corporate activity tax.
Right.
It's the same people that ran the ballot machines at the Iowa Caucus.
Yeah.
So,
and the Nevada.
We as a board have asked, as the franchise agreement for the solid waste agencies get updated, that they put in an exception for contractors that are hired to clean up properties that are foreclosure or the Fannie Mae, third-party hauling. We're talking, they specifically are on contract to clean up a property. And so if you think about right now, the exceptions in the hauling are If you created the trash, you can haul it away. So if you're a contractor doing a remodel on a house, or if you're a carpet layer that you took out the carpet and put new stuff in, in this case, they're hired by the realtors or the lending agencies to clean up that property. And there's not a huge industry for it, but there are some that are sidestepping and dumping in the woods in different places. And so want to have a legal mechanism for people under contract to do that. Cape Junction has already said they will not sign the franchise agreement if it's not included in theirs. We've asked that it be included in ours. We may want to look at, I have learned that nationwide we get charged more for solid waste hauling than just about anywhere, including in some places. Now, granted, different economies of scale of population and such have different contracts, but there are places that do free pickup for larger items that are considered bulk items. Our rates are $2.35 a minute, and you're charged a minimum 15 minutes, and then you're also charged per item on top of. We pay exorbitantly more than other states in these same things, but we continue to be told by our franchisees that you're going to break the bank if you allow this to happen. I do not believe that, because there's a way to put it in the franchise that they cover the expense when they get to the hauling station, and we want the refuse to go to the transfer station. The newest...
Right. That's what we want to encourage.
The newest concern they brought up to me was, well, what about medical waste? I'm sorry, I've thrown a Band-Aid in a trash can. How do you deal with that when you get it through the trash pickup? I said, so put an exception that they have to comply with laws regarding hazard material and different stuff like that. But wanted you to know that Cape Junction says they will not sign it if that is not in there. We've asked for it to be incorporated, and so wanted you guys to be aware.
That would be great if there's something in writing that you can provide us on what you're looking at from a standpoint of written language. But you're right, illegal dumping is definitely an issue. My family and I go up in the woods all the time, and it's amazing the efforts that they take and the distance they go to get rid of something that probably the fuel cost would have been more than for them to just dump it off the transportation.
But going back in history, it never used to be that way. When you went out to the landfill and it was $10 for a pickup load of stuff, you just dumped it. And then the last time I went out there, which was way years ago, and I had my pickup full of pallets, the guy walked around and he goes, that'll be $60. And I said, for what? It's wood. It'll deteriorate in there, and 5 years, it's gone. Building materials, $60. And I says, see you later. And I turned around and back down to the yard and burned it.
I fixed that. I got rid of my Duramax diesel and got a mid-sized pickup truck, so it's not as big and I don't get charged as much.
There you go. speaking of
changing the world, one
appetite, the newspaper had the other day that Greyhound has said they will not allow ICE or federal officers to go on board and check immigration status on any of their people. Is there any appetite for telling Greyhound bus they don't stop here anymore, that they stop in Medford, that they're not allowed to come into Grass Pass anymore? Service Grass Pass?
Yeah, have they ever got a permanent spot?
They are at the market.
Yeah, they're at the market right over there now.
C&B.
We provided them temporary on the street.
A1.
Then we denied, a renewal of that, so they had to come up with a permanent location.
So
Is that their new
I know there's a lot of people that I know that said, you know what, don't let them in here. Because if we can't have some kind of reasonable expectation that they're not bringing in busloads of illegal immigrants and just dumping them off because they get free bus fare from San Diego to here or whatever, if we can't get some kind of reasonable expectation of who's on that bus, that they're legal, then I don't think they need to stop here. And we just say, you don't stop here anymore. You don't sell tickets at Grants Pass anymore. You don't have a facility. You're dumping, if you do have mothers and babies, and they're dumping them off in the middle of the night over here on B Street.
And it is the middle of the night.
And it is in the middle of the night. Yeah. I've seen that.
Yes.
I
think the right course of action, I don't know that saying no Greyhound can stop in Grants Pass is the answer, but Greyhound is subsidized with federal dollars, and it's illegal for them. They're violating federal law by coming up with that policy. So the correct course of action would be for us to contact our congressman and advocate that way, that we would like...
I'd like to change.
That's the slow boat.
I mean, do you think it serves a purpose to say no Greyhound at Grants Pass?
The immediate remedy is to say you don't stop here anymore because you're not allowed to stop here. Right. We don't have to offer them a stage stop, do we?
That's a good question. Don't know.
I don't know that either. I mean, there's no law that says you have to stop.
You'd be included in the transit hub? And they'd have any dollars?
No.
I doubt it. It's a pretty small spot.
Transit right Hub's there. Being paid out of state and federal transportation dollars, so I'm not sure what the capacity would be for duplicate. I mean, remember when Greyhound was down on L Street or wherever it was?
Greyhound used to be right over here.
Yeah, 5th and
right behind Rick's by the Theater. That used to be the Greyhound Bus Depot, and then it was across the street where Ron Mart, where Photoden was. That was the Greyhound Bus Depot at one time.
Anyhow, I would be curious how many people utilize Grants Pass getting on and off the bus before we say don't allow people to stop here.
Right.
But if they are receiving federal subsidy dollars and they're violating federal law, there may be another way of enforcing them.
You guys have some contact info. You've been talking to them, right?
We have, yeah.
Is the permanent plan where it is now?
I didn't even know. My son took the Greyhound this Christmas from Salem to here. We had to look it up to see where it stopped. I didn't even know where it stopped.
You dumped off up there by the...
That's where I thought. And then I looked on the website, street? And he goes, it's at the market right here. Yeah. And that was at 10 o'clock at night.
The guy's out there punching tickets and stuff, letting them on, just like you see in the big city.
Yep. It was a trip.
Phenomenal.
That's just on the side of the road somewhere. Stop in the middle.
Yeah.
Well, let me add one more thing before we let you go. We're putting an advisory question on the May ballot to talk about changing the roadside spray method on county roads from chemical to mechanical or otherwise non-chemical.
Okay.
And it comes with a price tag.
It's substantially higher to...
Oh, I'm sure. It's way higher.
It's 26 cents per thousand. So if you had $200,000 property in the county, you would pay the $46 a year to have no longer... The county roads. Now, that doesn't include ODOT roads. It doesn't include City of CJ or City of GP. But it's something that we've been inundated with the past couple of years, so we want to ask that advisory question.
Mentioned this morning, Public Works has five zones. Right. They have five zones already. So, you know, it depends on if you're zoned, if other people, I don't know if they're going to split the ballot up that way.
If it ever gets
the ballot, it may go to the five different zones, very much like districts, and then see what each one wants to do. Because some people, we'll take care of ourselves.
Yeah,
that's volunteerism, and it works for about a month or two.
Yeah,
but if 90%
if there's 50 miles
of
road in your zone, they get a mile and a half of it. And then
weed eating and mowing still allows it to get up underneath the asphalt.
Yeah.
And what Lane County, when they implemented this, found is that mowing actually spread some weeds that were poisoned to feed for animals.
Yeah. Yes.
And so they had to go back and find another methodology in certain areas because
they have steam tractors and there's other methods, but it costs more. Mm. You got to buy stuff and you got to maintain it differently.
Yeah.
I think Lane is.
Is the only one.
I think they're finding, they're trying all these different things, and they're going back to, that didn't work. We're back to spraying. We're going back to engine spraying. We're going back to spraying.
They are having to go back.
I think.
That was a lot at the end. Thanks for the flourish.
Yep.
Yeah.
Hopefully we'll see you guys on the 30th or before.
We need to SOS on a Saturday. Try to dump some stuff. And if you don't have cash, I mean, you can't dump.
They don't take card or checks?
They do not.
That's crazy.
It was unbelievable. It's like, this is the 21st century. And so we had to, he goes, you got to go to Dollar General to get money.
That's not fair to that business.
And it's not. And so my buddy went in there and they go, let me guess, you're here to get money back on your ATM card so you can get money to go to the transfer station. He goes, yep. So that's what they told us when we went to dump. You got to go to Dollar General to get money back on a Coke or something.
Have you reached out to your solid waste agency members?
No. Not yet.
We should try that in the interim.
I will.
What is the holdup?
So you think you'd have a little, just, you know, one of those little, what do they call them, dots?
A square. Square. You put in your phone and swipe the card. Yeah. You're doing it
charge, charge you $5 or whatever
it costs. I wonder
if
that's part of the new buildup, if they're going to change that.
I mean, you think that everyone has those. Nope, you've got to pay cash.
I don't, but that's fine.
All right. Good to see you guys so soon.
I have American dollars.
We'll see you.
Good to see you all.
End this meeting at 12:04.